morning. I'm so glad to be here tonight, today, this morning. Yeah, it's great to be here. A week ago, I was in Finland, and thank you for your prayers. I was there for the week. Many of you know I used to live there as a missionary, and I met friends from like 40 years ago, and we have just continued in our walk with Christ, and they are so precious, and I'm so thankful. Eurocon will be happening in March, Lord willing. You know how it is with all these restrictions and everything, but the doors are open, and you can find more about that on our website. I might be in a week or 2 weeks. Go to Paris for a conference and a Greater Grace conference. So be praying for that too. I'm not sure, but I'm like all of us looking for God's leading. I want to share a few words with you from 1 Samuel 14 to kind of set the tone for our message to tell you what I want to preach about today. So turn to 1 Samuel 14. We have some guests here. We have Pastor Glenn Ernest and Patty. Just raise your hand if they're here. Also, we have Pastor Stan Collins from Argentina is here today, and we're just rejoicing in God's family. Chapter 14. Verse 24. The men of Israel were distressed that day. Sounds familiar. Huh? People are distressed. They can be distressed. They can feel the trouble. For Saul had adjured the people, saying, "Cursed be the man that eats any food until evening, that I may be avenged on my enemies." So none of the people tasted any food. This was a king's decision. If something he decided, I'm not going into that, whether that was right or wrong, but I want you to see something. There is food on the ground in this story, and it's honey. Honey is on the ground. Now, we're going to use this as an illustration for our message today, that it's God's will for us to eat the honey that is on the ground. And I want to use that as an example of Christ being in this world where we are, in the world we are in. In a troubled world, Christ is here. Christ is, even if I make my bed in hell, God is there, Psalm 139. He will never leave you or forsake you. He is on your side. He is for you. And in this way, then, we see him as this honey on the ground. Verse 25. And all they of the land came to a wood, and there was honey upon the ground. And when the people were come into the wood, behold, the honey dropped, but no man put his hand to his mouth, for the people feared the oath. So they obeyed the king. But there was somebody that didn't hear the king's command. That was the king's son, Jonathan. But Jonathan heard not, verse 27, when his father charged the people with the oath. Wherefore he put forth the end of the rod that was in his hand and dipped it in a honeycomb, put his hand to his mouth, and his eyes were enlightened. He ate the honey, he got the strength for battle, and he did a really good job, as you can read in the story. I want to say just a couple things this morning. There is honey in this world, but some people never find it. Number two, they find it, but they don't eat it. There's honey in this world. There is the answer for everybody's life, everybody's problem, everybody's state of mind. There's a solution for us. But somebody's telling you not to eat it. Somebody is saying it doesn't exist. Or if it's found, don't touch it. But we're looking into our Bible today, and we want God to tell us to eat the honey, take it. You need it. You need it. You really need it. That's all I want to say. You really need it. You really need it. You and I need it. We really need it. We need the spiritual life. We need Jesus Christ in our life. We need the Bible to be open to us. We need friends. We need encouragement. We need God to answer our prayer. We need God in our lives, and we have Him. We have Him. And that's what we want to say. But there's somebody saying, don't even think about it. If you find it, don't touch it. Have nothing to do with it. And we're here to say, no. I want to know what it is. I want to eat it. Guys, I'm in this life for a certain reason. And I'm not going to play a game with it. I want it, I'm going to eat it, and I'm going to live my life. And my life will be better because of it, because it's real. Christ is real. Your life is better because of Him. You'll be a better NFL football player. You'll be a better doctor, a better teacher, better mother, better father, better teenager, better young person. You'll be a better student. You'll be better because of the honey that's on the ground. Amen. Have any of you, maybe it's happened to you, but you've said, you know, I don't talk to me about the Bible. I can't hear it. Or you've met somebody who is like, I don't want to hear it. Don't tell me about it. Don't talk to me about God. Or don't say anything to me about the Bible. I don't want to go to the church. I'm done. I can't do it. I can't do it. Anybody? Yeah. Okay, all those people go out. All the goats go on that side of the room, and the sheep go on. Okay, turn to Hebrews 12. It's written in the Bible that that happened to the people of God. It's Hebrews 12. Where were they when that happened to them? They were at Mount Sinai. What's Mount Sinai? It's the mountain when they came out of Egypt. They went to that mountain, and Moses disappeared and was gone for 40 days. And God was giving him the law. And at that mountain, it was very dark. It was a bad experience. Look at Hebrews 12. Verse 18, for you have not come unto the mount that might be touched. Okay, this is us, the church. We have not come to that mountain that might be touched and that burned with fire, nor unto blackness and darkness. Next verse 19, and tempest, and then go to and the sound of a trumpet and the voice of words, like there was actually the voice of God, the voice of words, which voice they that heard entreated that the word should not be spoken to them anymore. They were like, they heard it, but they were like, we can't hear it. We can't hear it. that can happen to you too. You could say, I don't want to hear it. It's too hard. It's condemning me. My conscience troubles me. I don't want to hear it. I can't hear it. It can happen to us, you know. But the can you talk to your neighbor for a minute? I have a little thing this morning. I had the 9 o'clock service. Beautiful service, great time. But I've got a sense of, I think the Holy Spirit could manifest himself very strongly. But I also want you to have a good attitude toward God and be hearing from God and be engaged in what I'm saying. So maybe it would help if you talked to your neighbor for a minute and just said to your neighbor, you know, that has happened to me, that I have kind of put my hands on my ears and said, I don't want to hear it. Or if it didn't happen to you, it happened to my uncle. And just talk for a second, just 1 minute, and then we'll move on in our message. Pastor Hadley said that it's happened like a projection. Like, don't hear that. Have you ever woke up, you waken up in the morning and maybe there was gloomy kind of feeling, moody, maybe even some depressed thoughts or darkness? Let's go back to those words, 18, verse 18. Up above, and blackness and darkness and tempest, the sound of a trumpet. Okay. All right. So I'm just saying by testimony, there are people that have sinned and they're very guilty about it. It's kind of darkness and guilt. There are people that have done bad things in their lives and the things come back and haunts them and they feel bad about it. There might be also something to do with my self-image and I am unworthy and maybe even I'm not saved. I don't know, maybe God doesn't love me. I know he loves you guys, but I don't know about me. This happens to people. Do you know what those people need? They need to find the honey on the ground because it's there. But somebody told you it's not there, or if it's there, don't touch it. If you touch it, you're cursed. That's what they said in 1 Samuel 14. If you touch it, you're cursed. Also, don't touch it. Don't have anything to do with it. But I want to say to you this morning, in Romans chapter 8, we receive counsel. Go first to Hebrews 4, please. And Bible college starts a week from Monday, and I'm excited about it because it is like honey on the ground. Classes are not like, oh, I can't hear them, but more like, I want to hear it. Teach me. I need to be edified because I have sinned. I have failed. I have some guilt in my heart. I feel depressed. I am afraid or I'm worried about my future. They say many Americans, I think half of them, are afraid of getting COVID. Another group of people, large number, are afraid of losing their job. There are people that are concerned about their finances. There are people with family. All of us have. Well, when you have a family, you worry about your family members. That happens. If somebody has something very precious in their life and they're afraid of losing it, there's no end to what kind of trouble we have in this world. But the Apostle Paul is writing, in Romans 8, but before we do, I want you to see Hebrews 4, verse 2. For unto us was the gospel preached. You need gospel preaching, by the way. We need gospel preaching. We need the grace message. We need counsel from God's word, Psalm 19, Psalm 119. We need to hear, and then verse 2, where it says, the word preached did not profit them. It didn't work. It didn't profit them. There was honey on the ground, but it didn't work for them. It didn't profit them. They didn't get it. They didn't eat it. It didn't work. Verse 2. Not because it was not mixed with faith in them that heard it. Mixing the word with faith. That's what we're doing today. We're going to hear it and mix it with faith. And this is like the, this is how we are rejuvenated, how our mind is renewed, how we are edified. We hear it and mix faith with it. We live by faith, not by sight. We live by faith. Yeah, but you are, and so let's go to the little sketch here. Here's my life, and we can put like all the kinds of a cloud around me. We could call it the blues. I've got the blues. Darkness, tempest. I've got a problem with my family. Somebody has a son in jail. Somebody has a cancer or COVID, or they have a problem at work, their job, housing, finances. General sense, my conscience bothers me. My conscience bothers me. My heart condemns me. If your heart condemns you, God is greater than your heart. Watch this. I've got this, but then I've got a choice. I've got faith, and I have promises. I want to know God. I know what my conscience says, but I want to know God. I want to know what God says. What does God say? Okay, I feel this way. It's winter, it's cold out, it's like I wake up. In Finland, it was real cold, real cold. And we have a bit of it today. But that's okay. That's the way it is. That's the way life is. But I live by faith. I live by faith in what God is saying. Now turn to Romans 8 with me. Pastor Shabelli's class, Pastor Hadley's class, Pastor Cannon, Pastor Rinaldo Brown, Pastor Siraji. What a great Bible school we have, and what a beautiful time in life for us. Now, look at chapter 8, and we're going to look from verse 28 down through to 35. And now comes the honey on the ground. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. We have a purpose. It's God's purpose. We are called to that purpose. We are saved. We are saved, though we're called according to that purpose. And what's the promise? Everything works for good. It's all working out. It all works for good. There's an end game. We'll be conformed to the image of Christ. He started it, he will finish it, Philippians 1:6. Lord, perfects all that concerns me, Psalm 138. God's ways are perfect, Deuteronomy 32, verse 4. Yeah, but look at what I got going on. I know you've got that. I do too. But what are we called to? Faith. What does God say? All works for good. Well, what do you mean? Well, he has decided that you will be just like Jesus Christ. You and I will be just like Jesus Christ one day. One day, now, we are conformed to his image. We are being changed. So I don't see the change. Well, when you're a little boy growing up, you see changes in your shoe size. You were 6, now you're 9. Your belly was 24 inches, now it's 52 inches. Okay, so yeah, we see changes in our body as we grow, but there are actual changes in who we are. God knows, but the end game is guaranteed. Verse 29, read it. For whom he did foreknow, he foreknew you, he did predestinate, meaning that he has decided that you will be conformed to the image of his son. No, not me, because I live in this. I live in the blues, okay? The Lord is saying, I know that's where you are living, but I'm telling you there's honey on the ground. I want to tell you something. And as you hear me and you mix faith with what I say, actually, it's better for you. Yeah, but I don't do that. Well, if you don't do it, but the end game is guaranteed. You'll be conformed to the image of my son. I promise you. Well, how can you do that? Because I am God and I decided it. I decided in my own mind. I decided in my own wisdom, and this will glorify me. I am the one that is honored for this work that I am doing. It is finished, but in finishing it, I am also telling you that in the process of your life, you can eat it, enjoy it, experience it, know it. If you don't know it, that's your business. I mean, you don't know it, you don't have to. I mean, you can go out the door and that's the end. I mean, you can just shut down. But it's much more fun to eat the honey from the ground. It's much more fun to have your eyes enlightened and to realize God. It's much more fun to glorify God in your life of faith than to just live in your feelings and your bad conscience and say that God doesn't love me and feel depressed and worried and afraid. Go at it. But that life is not as good as this one. It's much better to believe what God is saying here, to believe him. And it also gives him the opportunity to honor you in your faith. I believe you, God. And then he says, walk. Come on, walk with me. And we walk with him. And that's our privilege. Yeah, but I don't want to. Well, you don't need to. You don't have to. If you're saved, you're saved. And it's guaranteed one day it will be that he has finished his work in you and you are perfected. That's when we go to heaven. We'll be perfected with our spirit, soul, body. But until then, we have the privilege of faith in God. Get your eyes on God. Set your eyes on God. Put your affection on the things above. Have the mindset of the truth. The truth will set you free. You will live another kind of life. You'll grow from faith to faith. You'll greatly glorify our Heavenly Father in John 15. We'll abide in the vine and bear fruit, and thereby then glorify Him in this lifetime. Okay, go now to the next verse. It says, verse 30. Moreover, whom He did predestinate. So we have actually five links in the chain here. He foreknew, He predestinated, He called, He justified, and He glorified. So there are five links. This means you are so secure because none of these links depends on you. All of them are done by God. He foreknew you. He predestinated you. He called you. He justified you. He glorified you. He did it all. What can we say to these things? Verse 30, 31. What shall we then say to these things? They're like mind-blowing. They are, have nothing to do with the bad conscience or the tempest or I don't want to hear this, I cannot hear the Ten Commandments or the law. It's condemning me. It's too much pressure on me. I cannot hear it. This is the other side. This is something else. This is grace. This is God saying, I gave you my son. I became a man so I could do it all for you. Because you couldn't do it because you're sinners. And sinners couldn't do any of this. But I did it all. On a level, you can't even comprehend what I'm talking about. It's the unspeakable, it's the unspeakable gift. Let me show you something. Here's the cross with Jesus doing His incredible work on the cross. There were five categories of people who said, come down from the cross. The common people said it. The Pharisees said it. The soldiers said it. Let's see. There was another group, and then the thief on the cross said it. Come down and save yourself. This is what the world says. The world says, come down. God says, stay on it. Hebrews 9:14. He was kept on the cross by the Holy Spirit. Nails didn't keep Him on the cross. The Holy Spirit kept Him on the cross. Romans didn't keep Him on the cross. Holy Spirit kept Him on the cross. Why? Because He was doing this work for you and me. What work? This one. This one. He foreknew you. You are predestinated to be like Him. He called you, He justified you, He glorified you at the cross. That's what happened there. Like the cross did it. You know, like the world doesn't see it, they don't know it. They don't know the honey on the ground. They don't know that there's anything more. They do not have anything to eat. What do they eat? Fox News and CNN and podcasts and talking and university professors and the news and the local pub or barroom chatter? What do they know? NFL stats? What do they know? The price of a car, the temperature outside? What do they know? Napoleon Bonaparte was the emperor in France. What do they know about this? They don't know anything about it. Just come down from the cross, we'll believe in you. It's like, ah, ha, 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 ha. Yeah, sure, you believe in me. You don't know anything about what you're talking about. But I'm saying to you, from our Bible, that this is so incredible that Paul said, what could we say about these things? They are extraordinary, exceptional. It means we go to heaven. We're forgiven. It means our name is written in the book of life. It means that we have the Holy Spirit all the time. all the time we have the Holy Spirit, who is our teacher and has given us something here. Let's go to the next verse, Romans 8, verse 31. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? So let's write here the word who. If Jesus stayed on the cross for us and he did something we can hardly understand, then he says, who? Who can be against us? I can tell you who can be against me. Me, myself. I'm my greatest enemy. I'm my own counselor. Myself can be against me. And God would say, no, you're nothing. Your whole experience, all your feelings, all your sins, all your complexes, all your depression is nothing to me. You have no idea what I did on the cross. If I am for you, who can be against you? I'll tell you somebody else who can be. I'll put here, me, myself. Myself is against me. I'll put down here another one that's against me is Satan. Who can be against me? Satan can be against me. God is saying, no, he's nothing. I overcame him. I defeated him. He can't be against you. Yes, he can be against you, but he has no power. He has no power over you. I mean, I overcame him. How about my friends could be against me? How about my mother, my father? How about a friend, a group of people? How about my church could be against me? God forbid. Yeah, I wonder who could be against me. Let's go to the next portion. It's verse 32. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Let's put here, Jesus Christ is for you. How do you know he's for you? He stayed on the cross. Jesus Christ and God the Father, if they together are for you, who could be against you? Well, I listen to the voices of the world. That's why I feel like he's against me. I hear this soul, my own conscience condemning me. Yes. But what does God say? He says, I don't condemn you. I am for you. I gave my son. Are you kidding me? I gave my son so that you would be free. Which are you going to believe? Me or your conscience? Me or the state of Maryland who put you in a penitentiary? Or me or the local jailhouse who put you in jail? Or the IRS that fined you for cheating on your taxes? Or your ex-wife who says you're a bum, you're a useless person? Or your ex-husband or your ex-wife or your children or whatever? All these are very real things. Come on. That's why we are hungry. The people were walking, not eating all day, because there was a force against them eating the honey and saying, you can't eat. And if you find it, don't eat it. And if you touch it, you are cursed. I'm telling you, this is a game changer. When you find this and you eat it and you say, I'm going to believe God now. I feel bad, but I'm going to believe God. I'm in my kitchen, 6 o'clock in the morning, and it's dark out and it's cold, and I feel bad about a lot of things. Maybe even some people, they feel bad about 1,000 things. There's a mood of darkness, blackness, tempest. They don't want to hear a thing. But then Jesus speaks, I am not against you. I am for you. I gave myself for you. I stayed on the cross for you. Everybody said, come down. But God's ways are not man's ways. God said, stay. I stayed and I saved you. I forgave you. I gave myself for you. I fill you with the Holy Spirit. I want to show you the way. I am for you, not against you. This whole chapter here, let's read it. And we're going to finish it up here in a second, but look at it. Verse 33. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Lord, I'll tell you who will. My mother will. She doesn't think very highly of me. I'll tell you who will. Satan will. He's not for me. I'll tell you who will charge me. My conscience will. But then it says in verse 33, it is God that justified you. It is God that justified you. That's all that counts. That's the voice of God. I am for you. It doesn't mean that we delight in our sin. It just means I want to get away from my sin. I want to forget it. I want to eat honey. I want to have enlightened eyes. I want to have a new way. I want something else in my heart. I want to be filled with your Spirit. I want the Bible to be open for my heart. I want to learn more of what the Bible says about who I am. And get rid of my past and bury it. It's gone. It's Jesus' blood is shed to atone for my sin. So I am not my sin. I am a new creation. I am in the image of God. He is my Father. He is for me and not against me. Verse 34, who is he that condemneth? It's Christ that died, yea, rather it is risen again. I went to Jessup prison years ago. I got in to see a group of people that were worshiping, and they were greater grace. They wanted their fellowship. They were in for life, and they wanted their fellowship to be Greater Grace Church because the pastor that was there was working in the prison system was some Charles Law, if you remember him, Pastor Charles Law. And he brought me there, and I met these people that were in for life. Some had two life sentences. They were spirit-filled people. They were free. They loved. They loved. They worshiped Jesus. They were free. Because the sentence of civil law is that you are guilty and you have to pay for your sin. But the sentence from God is that my son became guilty so you would be free. My son paid the price so that I do not condemn you. You are justified. You are forgiven. You are my child. That's the eating the honey from the ground that many people don't know is there. And if it is, they don't need it. They're too wrapped up with their mood, their feelings about things. And they're like, say more like this, like it's more like this, you know, solve my problem. Solve my problem. They go to the church and they have this, solve my problem. And we go, nobody can solve your problem. You have to make a decision to live by faith in what God says. Well, that's not going to change anything. Yeah, it will. Yes, it will. If you hear what God says to you, and God is loving you, and the Holy Spirit is teaching you, like Jonathan, it enlightened his eyes. And he had a victory, a military victory, because of it. And I'm using that to illustrate the fact that I don't care about your stuff. I mean, I know about your stuff. I'm a human being, too. I understand it, and I care about it. I mean, as much as we have compassion and the Spirit leads us. But do you think that any human being on this side of heaven, you think that any human being is actually the one that's going to solve your problems in your life, or any human being is actually the solution? If you think about human beings, then you're looking in the wrong place. It's not about human beings. It's about Jesus Christ and the living God. For our rock is not as their rock, Deuteronomy 32:31. To know him is what life is about. That I may know him, that I might be comforted by him, I might be loved by him, that we might forgive others, we might love others, we might say to others, you know, Jesus is real and he cares about you. And he will help you. He will fill you with the Spirit instead of filling you with alcohol. Ephesians 5, verse 18. Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Okay, let's finish. Chapter 8, verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? The last who here, this who will separate us from the love? I'll tell you who. My boyfriend will. He'll separate me from the love of Christ. I know who. My boss, he can separate me from the love of Christ. I know who. I can separate myself from the love of Christ. Oh, really? You don't know what you're talking about. This is honey on the ground. Nothing can. Look at verse 35. Shall tribulation, distress, persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword separate you from his? Can your boyfriend, can your job, can a cancer, can death itself separate you from the love of God, the love of Christ? Nothing can. For I am persuaded, Paul said. What is he saying? These are extraordinary things. They have to be because Christ did something extraordinary. It said, come down. He didn't. God, he was doing something much more important. He was establishing us in him so that nothing could ever separate us from him. What was he doing? He was giving us ears and a new heart, new footsteps, new hands. He was giving us a new life. Now, I'm saying by warning today, I'm warning all of us, you can live this life and notice the honey is really close, way down on the ground where many people live. They live there. That's where Christ is. He's there. He became sin for us. He went real low. He's very compassionate, very understanding. He's the one that opens your ears. So instead of saying, you know, I can't take it. I don't want to hear anything. Leave me alone. I'm in my own self life. You don't understand me. You have no idea what I've been through. I don't want to hear any. I have no capacity for any of that. Jesus comes really very close to those people. And he says, I am here. I am here. This is about, you have no idea. This is about me. I love you. I am for you. All the stuff that you're talking about, there's nothing I can't heal. I can heal your body. I can heal your soul. I can heal your spirit. I am here. I am all about it. Are you kidding me? There's not. Mary Magdalene had seven demons. No problem for Christ. Nicodemus was a Pharisee. No problem. Zacchaeus was a businessman. Not a problem. Paul was a blasphemer and a murderer. No problem for God. Are you kidding? Moses is in unbelief out at the burning bush. It's like, no problem for God. Moses said, how will I know that you sent me? God said, throw the staff on the ground. It becomes a serpent. Take it up. It's a staff. Put your hand in your bosom, it's leprous. Put it back again, it's healed. Moses, I am God. I'm not like you. I am God. I am God. I am for you, not against you. And come on, anybody can take me on? Who is he that condemneth? Who can separate you from my love? I'm God. I am God. Do you get it? I am God. He is the honey on the ground. If you don't eat it, you won't have the strength. You won't know what you're talking about. You don't know where you're going. You won't be able to do it. He is the honey on the ground that you and I are told to eat it. Eat it up. Take it. Eat it. It'll change your life. Grow from faith to faith. But you won't. It's faith. The devil will say, don't touch it. And you'll say in your heart, I'm eating it because Jesus said. The hour is coming, and now is they that hear the voice of the Son of God shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. The voice of God that says, I am for you and not against you. Okay? Amen. You pray with me, please. You're here this morning and you want Jesus in your life, then say to Jesus Christ in your heart, I need you. Save me. Forgive me. I'm making a decision. You got to make those decisions. You can't just kind of float around. You got to somehow in your heart say to God, here I am. I'm here. Yes, Lord. I'm not much, but you are God, and that's what this is about. Save me. Forgive me. Come into my life. Thank you, Jesus. In your name I pray. Amen.